Mr. Lucy, first of all, thank you for joining us. Let's begin with a little background. What was your position then in 1968?
At that time, I was the Associate Director of Legislation and Community Affairs for the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees. I retired from being Secretary Treasurer of the union in 2010. Okay. I'm retired now.
So as I understand it, you were there when Dr. King came to Memphis for the sanitation workers' strike.
Yes.
Tell me about when Dr. King came and when you met him.
Well, Dr. King, as we recall, was in the process of organizing the National Poor People's Campaign, where he was people to Washington, D.C. so that the nation could really have a face to see on poverty. In the course of his organizing, he saw the work that was being done here in the city of Memphis on behalf of the sanitation employees. And he stopped here to lend not only his presence to the struggle, but also to say a word on their behalf. And in our conversation with him, he clearly understood the problems of workers on the low wage end of the economic scale. He clearly understood that their issues, their difficulties, and just simply eking out a living. And he saw this as really the dilemma of the working poor. And he identified with it clearly and decided to merge his work, both of the Poor People's Campaign and his assistance in trying to help settle the sanitation strike here in the city.
How long had Dr. King been in Memphis before he delivered what would be his last speech, the mountaintop speech on April 3rd?
Well, Dr. King came a couple of times. He came first for a speech, I believe, on March 18th that got deferred. And was rescheduled for March 28th, and he was here once before then. I don't recall the exact date, but he came twice, and then he came back the third time for the mountaintop speech at Mason Temple, which had to be rescheduled because of the weather situations, and the one march that had been destroyed by violence from a number of quarters. But when he came for the April 3rd speech, this was in preparation for the march on April 5th. And he was assassinated on April 4th.
We're speaking with Bill Lucy, former Associate Director of Legislation and Community Affairs with the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees in 1968, one of the organizers of the Memphis Sanitation Workers Strike. So take us back to how the strike came about. There were 1,300 African-American workers fed up with extremely low pay. Also, they were seeking safer working conditions as two workers had been crushed to death in garbage truck compactors. Jim Crow laws were in effect, and the mayor of Memphis was a staunch segregationist. In organizing the strike, what did you personally feel when you learned that Dr. King would be coming and lending his support to the strike? Did you feel that having Dr. King on your side would move the mayor of Memphis in any way?
Well, I wasn't convinced we would move the mayor of Memphis at all. I mean, what we were doing was mobilizing on behalf of these workers because their situations reflected the situations of many, many workers across the South and, in fact, across the country who were locked in the low-wage situations with no union to represent them, nobody who would give them the kind of processes that workers in the private sector had. And Dr. King recognized that as the only possibility of him getting these men getting a fair break in terms of working procedures and conditions under which they could have themselves represented.
Mm-hmm.
He understood that clearly.
Mr. Lucy, I'm curious to learn what was planned April 4th, 1968, the day Dr. King was slain.
Well, April 4th was really sort of an organizing and mobilizing day where we prepared not only the march routes, the march plans, the speakers' plans, and the issues around which we would have these men, put forth to the community as a whole. So it was sort of a down day, for everyone, just to make sure that all of the last-minute details had been organized and put together. Dr. King was in the process. As a matter of fact, he was going to dinner at the home of Reverend Billy Kyle, who was one of his key supporters here in Memphis, Tennessee. and he stopped briefly at the, well, he was at the Lorraine Motel, but he stopped briefly to speak to Reverend Jesse Jackson and Andy Young, and then was in, having a conversation with Ben Branch, as a matter of fact, just prior to him leaving for dinner when the shot occurred.
Bill Lucey, former Associate Director of Legislation and Community Affairs for AFSCME, one of the organizers for the 1968 Memphis Sanitation Workers' Strike. What is it that you remember about Dr. King's personality? What was he like? Approachable? What do you remember?
For the two or three times I had the opportunity to meet with him, he was very approachable. Was very clearly grounded in the difficulties of workers. I mean, Dr. King is recognized one of the great civil and human rights leaders of all time, but equally true that he was a great advocate for working people. And on many occasions, lent his time and effort to help and advise them on the approaches as to how to benefit themselves in terms of the wages, hours, and conditions of employment, and gave his presence to a number of situations where workers were, in effect, just locked out of fair procedures by which they could represent themselves.
Was there anything that Dr. King said to you that particularly struck you? Something that moved you, something that you knew you would instantly remember. Any comments or any advice?
Well, and I was saying, our two or three conversations, what has stayed with me all of these years, this presentation during the course of the Mountaintop speech, when he made the point that others had raised the question with him, what would happen to him if he stopped to help these men? And he made the point that what was more important was what would happen to them if he did not stop. That is a reflection of his commitment to social justice and human rights and the willingness to lend his time to these issues that did not appear to be so in-depth issues in terms of workers' lives.
So, Mr. Lucey, as legend has it, Dr. King, at the rally on April 3rd, wasn't originally scheduled to speak that night, but it was a last-minute request?
Well, no, Dr. The scheduled event was a massive meeting at Mason Temple, which is the headquarters church for the Church of God in Christ. Dr. Ralph Abernathy was the scheduled speaker for that night, but it was an incredible evening. There was a concern as to the weather was just so bad as to whether or not people would come out in these conditions, but the crowd was just incredible. Dr. Abernathy recognized that this was one of those similar moments. And so he ultimately made the point clear that he was going to call Dr. King and insist that Dr. King come over and just speak briefly to the crowd. And when he came, he just knew that this was just one of those moments. And he spoke for about 40, 45 minutes, but he wove a story that so clearly reflected the difficulties that these workers and others like them was having. And he put his heart and soul into that presentation. And really traced his somewhat his life story of helping, you know, people who were in distress.
Yeah. Where were you when you learned that Dr. King had been shot and later died?
When the news came over the radio, myself and a fellow staff member, Jesse Epps, was at the headquarters of sort of our mobilizing effort, and we immediately left for the Lorraine Motel, and we were something less than 10 minutes away. But the impact on the city was incredible, because you just did not assume something like that would happen. Not that you know these kinds of things, but Dr. King was such an advocate for peace and nonviolence, to have him shot and obviously later die, just was a tremendous impactful event.
Now, we know that Dr. King, of course, came to Memphis to support them. Take us back to what actually happened. That is, when did the sanitation workers' strike actually get back on track after Dr. King's death?
Well, with his death, there really had to be a pause in activity, and both sides, the city side and the union side, said we would take this break. But we began immediately to organize an event in memory of Dr. King's work. We called upon a brother by the name of Byatt Rustin to be the organizer of this march, and he and Harry Belafonte and a number of actors and other activists began to organize on, to reflect this. In about 4 or 5 days, we put together a march of about 45,000 people here in the city of Memphis, after which we went to Atlanta for the King funeral services. And between these times, clearly the nation was reacting to it. We went into a bargaining process set up by a fellow by the name of James Reynolds, who was an undersecretary of labor appointed by President Lyndon Johnson to give a hand in trying to bring these sides together. We ultimately got down to some serious discussions about key issues that were a part of the now set of new issues by the workers. Recognition of the union, dues checkoffs of the union compliance's work, grievance procedures, arbitration at the end of the process, promotional opportunities, education and training. I mean, the whole set of issues that would be a part of any normal private sector collective bargaining agreement. In the end, the strike was settled on April 16th and was unanimously ratified by the workers. And so they won their strike, clearly was the major issue of Dr. King's death. But coming forward with the provisions that any set of workers are entitled to as a matter of right. And the ultimate issue is the respect and dignity that was gained by virtue of these men arguing for the things they thought would help make their lives better and the quality of their lives and their families better.
Well, Mr. Bill Lucey, I appreciate your time with us today. Thank you for joining us, sir.
Thank you so much. Great, appreciate it.